You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
There's that sound. It's the sound and start of another edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's the Saturday edition. Thank you for joining us here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm here with George Kurtz and Matt Modica. I'm Mike Blewett, here with those guys until 10 o'clock. So looking forward to covering a lot of MLB content today. We'll get into a little bit of the NFL. Obviously, the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs are upon us, so maybe we'll touch on those as well if there's time. But obviously, a ton of MLB action last night and plenty more today. I would say I watched a little bit of MLB last night, watched the Yankees get dominated again by Houston pitching. I watched the Celtics kind of blow a game late against the Wizards. So there was a lot to watch again last night in the world of sports. I'll throw it to you first, George. Since there was so much going on, what is it that you settled in and watched last night?
Well, I was just for baseball. Hockey came on late, about 9, so I watched that. Then the game went to overtime. I did not see the overtime as I needed to get some sleep for today's show, but actually I just watched it now. So baseball and hockey was my choice, and you know, today with the weather here in the Northeast, you might get a few less baseball games.
I would say so. Matt, how about yourself? What'd you settle in and watch last night?
I was hoping to see some Matt Harvey last night. I was actually in studio doing the show with Joe Pisapia, but the Met game wasn't on here. I got to see some of the Yankee clips here and there, and Met fans can't be happy. I can say that.
Yeah, I would say so. So really just quick highlights from last night. We'll get into it in depth today. And George, it's interesting that you mentioned what you mentioned about not being able to stay up, because I got a poll question coming up in the next segment. But big news last night, Buster Posey ends a 17-inning battle with a walk-off last night. Yet another marathon effort in MLB, and it got me to thinking, so we'll talk about the poll in the next segment. Joey Gallo hit a walk-off home run last night. Like I said, the Yankees got dominated by Houston pitching. First it was Keuchel, and then last night McCullers. Aroldis Chapman comes out of the game last night. Really messy situation, I thought. 4-0 game. Girardi throws him out there to get some work, and he ends up getting pulled from the game because he didn't pitch well, and there was kind of an injury question in the middle of the inning. In any event, Kershaw pretty sharp last night, but not as sharp as Ervin Santana. Props to Matt Modica. We're going to talk about that in the next segment as well. So I guess I'll ask really quick, George, since you're the resident Yankees fan along with me, did you find it curious that they brought Chapman in there last night in a 4-0 game?
Chapman hadn't pitched since Sunday, so it was 5 days without pitching. And the Yankees, yeah. I think Girardi damn well knows, today's probably a rainout. It's supposed to pour all day here. So I think that's another day he wouldn't have him. I don't really believe in that, Mike. Teller. I'd give bullpen work more than anything else. But, you know, I don't blame Girardi for doing it. But you said about the injury. I do think there's something wrong here. Not because of what happened last night. I've been thinking it for a couple of weeks now. This is not the first time Chapman has looked like something's up.
Yeah, he did not look good last night. And I will state, for all of you playing DFS and for those with daily lineups, the Yankee-Astros game is off today. It's going to pour rain here in the New York area. That game has already been canceled. So make alternate plans if you have those players in your lineups. So going to get back to it in the next couple of minutes. It's Matt, Mike, and George on the Roto Experts in the Morning until 10 o'clock on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Matt Modica, Mike Blute, and George Kurtz with you. Hit us up on Twitter today. We've got a poll coming up right now. So at FNTSY Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio on Twitter, I'm at Mike Blewett, George is at George Kurtz, and Matt Modica is at CTM Baseball. Give us a call today, too, because we're going to be talking about a bunch of different topics. Feel free to ask us about your lineup questions, but if you want to give us a call, it's 844-843-6879. That's 844-FNTSY. So the poll is, before we get into the games, guys, the poll is, how many innings would you last at a 17-inning baseball game? So the choices are going to be, I'm there until the end, I'm tapping out at 12, just seems like a good number, I've been there long enough. You're out after 9, you paid for 9, and you're good with the 9-inning game, or you know, I'm out of there after the seventh inning after they stop beer sales. Anyway, so answers are along those lines. So, Matt, what is your call if you were in the midst of a 17-inning baseball game? Where is it that you're tapping out, as riveting as it might be?
I mean, I'm going to try and stay the, you know, as long as I can. It all depends. If it's like on a weekend and I can stay the whole game, sure. I mean, why not? But, I mean, I guess, you know, in realistic terms, during the week, probably by like the 12th inning, you are going to be out.
Yeah. George, how about yourself?
I think that's sort of Matt was hitting. This depends on so many things. Who am I with? If I'm with Mike Blewett and Matt Modica, I'm probably staying as long as you guys want to stay. I'm having a good time talking sports. If I'm with
we'll
the wife and
the
kids.
Premise. Yeah. We'll use that as the premise. For this discussion.
If I'm with the guys, you're talking, you're having a good time, I'm not the one who's saying, hey, let's go. But if, you know, it's like I said, Matt said it's 12th inning, it's a week night, and guys want to go, I'm not going to argue about it either. Because odds are I recorded the game at home, so I'll just watch the rest of it at home anyway. I am that kind of guy. So I'm pretty much a go-with-the-flow guy, but it definitely depends on who I'm with. You know, is it a comfortable night? Is it 9,000 degrees, one of those humid summer nights where you're just drenched? Is it raining, a little misty? You know, a lot of it goes into that. But I don't mind staying. I do not like the idea that's being proposed now that, you know, maybe we shouldn't have these extra inning games anymore. That WBC put the runner on second, I think, is idiotic. Let them play. Win the game. Let's not go with ties. I mean, I don't want to see the game of baseball change like the other sports have changed.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that. I understand the need for it or the call for it and people saying this is ridiculous. We're getting so many pitchers getting hurt and we're forcing guys out there and you're deciding a game based on how your first baseman ends up pitching in the 16th because you're
running
out of
arms. Oh, that's so rare.
I know. Exactly right. That's how I feel about it. It's so rare. I don't see a need to make a rule change like that. It does so happen, though, that we've had two 17-plus inning games this week, Yankees and Cubs on Sunday night, and then last night the 17-inning game goes nearly 5.5 hours. It started 7:15 local time, so it ends at 12:45, and it's a 5.5 hour game, Matt. So, I mean, Here's the thing. I go with some of my buddies from high school. We go to Yankee games regularly together. We never leave before the ninth inning. And I think we've probably been a couple of times in recent years where it's stretched into the 10th, and we've stayed it out. We're kind of about the baseball, and, you know, obviously we may not be the best sample, the three hosts of a baseball talk show, but at the same time, I'm going to stick it out. How do you feel about those proposed rule changes?
I'm with George. I hate it. I'd rather see a tie. I'd rather say after the 13th inning, it's a tie. I mean, I don't get it. Why are we going to pervert the game, put runners on? I don't want to see that. And in the WB, I turned the game off. As riveting as the WB was, I turned it off when they went to that stupid format and it became, like, ridiculous. I just don't want to see that.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I do think, though, if I were voting on this poll, which we will, it's up now. It's up in a moment as Pete Considori, our esteemed producer, puts that up. I think I would probably tap out about the 12th inning. It does depend if I'm with the guys, but I don't know if I really would have stayed there for 5.5 hours through the 17-inning game when, like, there's no food to be had, there's no drinks to be had or any of that kind of stuff. I'm not saying I'm going to be pounding beers the whole time. I'm just saying, like, concessions tend to shut down during games like that. So I don't know that I would stick it out the whole time, but I also don't want any kind of WBC rules changes. So in any event, I just thought that was a kind of a fun thing to lead off with, and feel free to give us a shout and hit us up on Twitter as we go throughout the show. So back to the baseball. Joey Gallo with a walk-off, Buster Posey with a walk-off. We had other walk-offs. I talked about the Yankees. Clayton Kershaw pretty sharp last night. He's one of those guys that obviously he's focused on perfection, and him giving up two runs in seven innings isn't good enough for him. He got a lot of ground ball outs, only four Ks, but another sharp outing for Kershaw, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, this is in Colorado. The one thing, somebody wrote a really good article, I can't remember the name, but the strikeouts are down, and one of the main things is on the slider, the swing and miss, which has been his money, which has made Kershaw. So, I mean, it's still too early in the season. Last night was at Coors, so at Coors, you know, It's a totally different animal. I'm just going to hope that, you know, he had maybe that little hip issue or something like that. So I'm just going to hope it's the first month or so. He's going to get things in order. This is still Kershaw. So I'm really not too concerned, but I would like to see the strikeout numbers come back.
George, thoughts on that?
Not concerned. You worried about Kershaw or trade him to me?
So anyway, Kershaw rolls right along. He gets the W. And a couple other notes from that game is that Cody Bellinger hit yet another home run, Matt. It's a guy that we've talked about a little bit. And I'm going to get into a segment a little bit later about guys we missed and guys that we were that you guys missed on and guys that you were right on. So I feel like Cody Bellinger is maybe a guy that we didn't talk about all that much. He's found a way by being able to play different positions too to keep himself in the lineup pretty regularly. He played left field and first base last night, for example, hitting .323 OPS over one. He's hitting cleanup in this Dodgers lineup, which is now on fire after sort of scuffling along the first couple of weeks of the season.
He's been a godsend for the Dodgers. He's a guy that in March in my live events I wasn't drafting, but in December, like January, in the draft and holds, I pretty much got him everywhere. I did spend $600 in the one league he was available in Fab last Sunday night.
Did you get him?
Yep. I spent about $300 more than I needed to, but I did get them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of it, right? You're just kind of going blindly after a guy to see what it's going to take, and now he's on your team.
Yeah, so I figured somebody was going to throw $500 out there or something, but hey.
So, George, it's rare that a 21-year-old rookie is going to come in and spark an entire lineup, but he seems to have done it, and Bellinger is on fire. He's producing on a regular basis.
Yeah, I wrote about him and who's hot, who's not yesterday. I think he is going to be that rare rookie that could help you win a fantasy championship team. If the Dodgers do something silly like send him down once these injuries, Gonzalez, Ethier come back. I mean, really, who's the better hitter on this team right now? Corey Seager, maybe? He's not hotter than Bellinger, but he might be a better hitter than Bellinger. But other than that, who is it? Is there anybody else on that team that can hit more better than Bellinger can? I don't think so. So I think it'd be silly. I think Bellinger is going to stay with the team, play a little first base, play a little outfield. He's going to go into a slump at some point, and that's when it'll get curious, when he has that first little rut. Do the Dodgers, now we can send him back down to AAA, or do they really let him get through it, go through it here at the major league level here? But Matt said, 600, I got him in a couple of leagues. I didn't have to spend that much, but I would have agreed with Matt. I know the league I did buy him in, I forget for how much, but I thought it was an okay bid, but someone might go bananas and outbid me. But I think there's a lot of speculation out there. Oh, he's going to get sent down. He's not going to make it. So I get it why Matt did it.
Yep. Tyler Chatwood. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Well, I did get to see him. One of the things I will say, I did get to see him at the Arizona Fall League this November. And the kid did nothing but impress me. The power was real. And even then, he never gets cheated when he's at the plate. That's all.
Yeah, Tyler Chatwood took the L last night in that game. Four walks, five runs, and only four and a third. So beyond that, Charlie Blackmon, DJ LeMahieu, and Cargo each pick up two hits. Not a lot of runs to go around there for the Rockies. Corey Seager does go 2-for-4. With a couple of RBIs. So Chase Utley actually pitched in a couple of RBIs as well. Rare appearance for him. So we will see how that continues to play out. It's just so interesting that the rookie is in the cleanup spot. One really quick note as before we hit a break, Joey Gallo hits a homer last night. He's the ultimate one-trick pony, it seems, Matt. He goes 1-for-3 last night, but a three-run bomb. He's hitting .203, but has 12 homers.
He's got 12 homers. The slugging's over .500. I mean, even when hopefully Beltre comes back at some point, because I do need Adrian Beltre, but he'll just move to left field. He's going to be with this team. Even batting .200, he does provide them with that spark.
George, too much power to send a guy like this back down.
More than likely, but that average has to come up. The problem is going to be, I think he stays with the team, but it's going to be more players than spots. So someone's going to be sitting here, and it'll be, I mean, they all might play four games a week rather than six, seven games a week. That would be my issue there.
Yeah, considering the amount of players that have gone on the DL this season, maybe it's all right to space it out. We'll come back in a couple of minutes. We'll talk a little bit about Matt's best friend, Matt Harvey. Not a great ending to his week. So we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. Mike, Matt, George, after this. back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for joining us this morning. And you should go to rotoexperts.com. Tons of good content there. George talking about his Who's Not Who's article that came out yesterday. He's got his close report every Tuesday. And you can find some of that stuff and more in the Roto Experts exclusive Edge In-Season Fantasy Baseball Package. It's your ultimate bench coach for the 2017 season. Stay ahead of the pack with our in-depth statistical breakdowns, trend analyses, and player insights. Become a waiver wizard and learn how to scan the numbers like a Roto scientist. We help you set the ideal lineups every week. And this season, you get a built-in fantasy training staff with our new injury advisor. Powered by InsideInjuries.com, get the Roto Experts exclusive Edge In-Season Fantasy Baseball Package now and start soaring to the top of the standings. Enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for a special discount. We kind of review George's Who's Not and Who's Not every weekend here, typically on Sundays. So we'll be doing some of that tomorrow, seeing how much he jinxed the players that he wrote about or how much he helped the players that he wrote about. He crushed Starlin Castro last week. He wrote about Starlin Castro, and he went 0 for 8 in an 18-inning game, George.
Nice. That's the worst thing about one of those long games for a baseball play when they take an 0 for 8 or, 1 for 9. Yeah. That's just a long night.
Average plummeted. So a friend of mine that I knew growing up, still friends, but don't see him as much these days, he tweeted at us about an 18-inning baseball game that I went to in 1985. Now, I was 12, so what the hell did I have to do that day? Obviously, I could wait out the 18-inning game other than, like, being late for dinner or whatever it was. I'm sure it was a day game. There's no way it was a night game. He said the Mets played the Pirates in 85 and that we went to an 18-inning baseball game together. He's probably right. I don't know why my memory stinks that I have no memory of that. I was trying to literally scan my memory last night and or this morning, rather, after reading about the 17-inning game as to what is the longest game I attended. So that's probably it. But that was a good 85. That was like the Andy Van Slyke Pirates days, and the Mets were obviously really good. So it was probably somewhat of an entertaining game.
I used to look for games back in the day when they scheduled doubleheaders. I used to look for doubleheaders, and I'd go to doubleheaders.
Yeah.
And I get that half-hour break, so I want to pay two. I'll get two games for the price of one. The only game I can honestly remember where I left early, Matt's a Met fan, so I don't know if he'll remember. Mike, I guess, with your memory, I guess you're not going to remember either. Yankees had a doubleheader against Detroit, and the first game went like 16 innings, and it was a twilight doubleheader. So the second game wasn't even going to start till after 8, like 8:39, and I only made a couple of innings in the second game before we left. The person I was with just couldn't take it anymore, so we split. I don't even remember who won the games, but I do remember leaving that early.
I could kind of pride myself on my memory being good. I just literally have no memory of this thing. But, I was 12. It's a really long time ago. It's over 30 years ago. I think I can give myself a little bit of a credit. But that looks like it. There's no way I attended a game longer than that. I'm highly doubtful. So in any event, Matt, can you tell me, Matt Modica, which team leads the majors in home runs right now?
Which team leads the majors in home runs right now? Is it the Reds?
It is the Brewers with 59. They hit three more off of Matt Harvey last night. That's why I looked it up. The future Hall of Famers Eric Sogard, Hernan Perez, and Orlando Arcia touch Matt Harvey up for some homers. So it brings the saga. At least we've moved on to the baseball portion of the Matt Harvey saga and seeing if he can get fixed. He admitted that it wasn't a good outing. He wasn't sharp. What are your thoughts, frankly, from a fantasy perspective? I have Harvey on one of my teams. It's almost like I just should throw him on the bench now or cut him when he goes out there. He's been three or four bad outings in a row. He's struggling. So from the baseball side of things, what's up with Matt Harvey?
Yeah, I mean, coming into the season, I really didn't want anything to do with Harvey just because of the surgery alone. And we don't really have that much to go on the TOS, the outlet syndrome with the shoulder. It scared the hell out of me. But the Mets also put him in a tough spot to come back and pitch at Milwaukee when he could have pitched on Wednesday versus the Giants, one of the worst offensive teams in baseball, at home. But I guess they didn't want that whole thing at home, people booing him and stuff. I didn't get to watch the game, but I will say this. What I saw on Twitter after the fifth inning, when I think he only had allowed two runs, pretty much everybody is like, why is Harvey going out there for the sixth? He should be out. I don't know how many pitches he had thrown at that time. It's just a really tough...
He ended up with 106, so it's a fair question. He ended up at 106 on the night.
Yeah, it's to me... I mean, I don't think he's going to be a Met for, you know, for the future. So I was kind of hoping that he can get a nice month of starts, and I think he possibly traded at the deadline. Fantasy purposes, he's on my bench right now.
George, any additional thoughts?
I had a friend text me last night about Matt Harvey, and it's sort of on the what Matt was talking about at the end here. He wanted to know what I thought right now. I'm going to ask you guys the same question. If Harvey was a free agent at the end of this year, and he's not, but if he was, what kind of contract would he get?
That's interesting. Hey, I don't think he's...
Assuming his medicals come back healthy. That was the assumption. There's nothing wrong with the medicals. That's the first thing I asked. Well, it depends on the medicals. Assuming his medicals come back healthy, from the way he's pitched, his attitude, all this other garbage, what contract do you think he'd get right now?
I mean, I think somebody's going to take a shot.
Go ahead, go.
I'm sorry. I think somebody will.
I don't think there's any doubt.
Will take, just because pitching is, you know, everybody's so desperate for it. But he's not getting anywhere near what we thought. I think maybe it would either be he might take the 1 year deal to prove himself. Otherwise, I mean, I couldn't see anything more than a 3 year deal at maybe like. Maybe it's like $40 million out of that. Somebody would I think take that shot.
I was going to say like a 36 or so. It's in that range, you know, 12 to 13 a year. I think there's such a dearth of pitching. It will surprise people, some people, what he gets. It'll never surprise us because we've seen much less talented pitchers get much more money than that. But I think the injury issue is what will cap that contract. The one-year prove-it deal... That's a really big risk. And I know he works with Scott Boras or has worked with Scott Boras. It's a really big risk for him to take, because what if he just never becomes that guy and he's gonna go on a 1 year deal? Does the following year, does he get that $36 million deal anyway? Maybe. And, you know, if he can go somewhere, I assume he's not here next year, but you never know, because if he keeps pitching mediocre for the rest of the year, what kind of trade market is there going to be? And they're going to get a bag of balls for the guy at the end of the year if he just keeps pitching to a 5 ERA, correct? George?
Correct. I mean, his trade value right now is pretty close to nil. But it's May. If he can pitch well in May, June, July, at the deadline, he could get something. He's old buddy. He's a Scott Boras client. That's not going to help matters any, because, you know, if you trade for him, he's not signing with you after next year, even if he does rebound and become the Dark Knight of old, which... Listen, it seems to be unlikely at best. So with his attitude, missing days, not showing up for work, and all his other guard, and he's not pitching well. I mean, everything can be forgiven in all sports, for that matter, not just baseball, football. You can forgive everything if the performance is there. Right now, he's got nothing going for him, and I mean nothing going for him.
It's a shame. I mean, it really is. He's never, in my opinion, he'll never be that pitcher we saw a couple of years back before the Tommy John surgery. Can he be a good pitcher in the future? I got to give him a little more time. This is, like I said, the injury he's coming back from was quite severe. The swing and miss isn't there. The velocity isn't terrible. I mean, he's been pitching about 94 miles an hour. So that's not
bad. Six K's last night.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the walks is what's really hurting him, too. So, I mean, I have to give him a little more time on that aspect due to the severity of the injury, the type of injury he suffered. That's why, for fantasy purposes, I just really wanted no part of it. And, you know, the Mets are in a really, as usual, the Mets are in a really tough situation.
Yeah. So... We will see how that plays out. It's just we are going to have to continue to track it. He wasn't a guy that I targeted. It was just at that point in the draft, I thought, well, what if I get something out of him? And now, honestly, he's just killing me. His ERA is 5.6 right now, and obviously with all this other drama, like, I get it. So he got broken up with by a Victoria's Secret model. It's heartbreaking, but I don't know. She's dated a bunch of other famous people before, and – will after this, what did he think he was going to marry her? Like, I don't, whatever, I'm not even going to get into the whole thing because I don't even know what the hell is true. It just sounded all ridiculous. Like, I get it. She's one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen, but was that the reason?
You're heartless, Mike. Heartless.
Yeah, but is that the reason for the downfall? Like, the guy could go out the next day and, you know, just find a he's that type of guy. He's out all the time. He's a man about
town. I don't
think
he's having trouble finding a date.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, I don't think so, you know, neither. I think the problem was I don't think he that thing where they said he went golfing in the morning, that's a total lie. I'll tell you that right now. I don't want to get I don't want to smirch him too much, but I think he was just partying, you know, way too long. Yeah. Put it that way.
Yeah, I think he's taking a lot of beatings. I'm happy to pile on, but I don't really feel the need to because the guy's gotten pounded, and I think he's disliked by just about every Mets fan that I know. Just to wrap up this game, Keon Broxton struck out 3 more times, so congratulations if you're getting your stolen bases at some point along the line. Neil Walker reached base 4 times last night. Good game for him, Matt Modica, 3 for 3, a couple of RBIs for Neil Walker, so maybe he's breaking out of a slump there. Beyond that, and I mentioned the homers by those 3 guys, so that's about it. And I don't, you know, the Mets have had just a tremendous amount of drama this year. I can't remember seeing a baseball team with this many injured pitchers or this many injured players at this level at this point of the season. They've lost their closer, it appears, for the year. We got the Harvey, the Syndergaard stuff. Mats is still on the DL. We've talked about all these guys being on the DL, and there's really no explanation for it. You can blame the training staff, but at some point, it's just bad luck. So come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the rest of MLB. Go around the horn. Continue to find out what we can do to tweak your fantasy lineups today on Saturday. Mike, Matt, and George, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Our Saturday Night Fever segment right here. This is how we get it going on Saturday mornings. And you can now take the world's premier 24/7 fantasy sports radio network with you wherever you go. Download the FNTSY Sports Radio app in the iTunes store on Google Play and listen for free anytime, anywhere. You can hear Tony Cincotta on the treadmill, Benny Riccardi in the car, or Greg Sussman on the subway, or just relax with the King on the couch or Jake Seeley when you're jogging. Or us three when you're sitting around on your Saturday or Sunday morning. We'll keep you updated and informed wherever you go. Get the Fantasy Sports Radio app for free right now in the iTunes store on Google Play and take the experts with you. Today, after this, we're going to have Tony and Cha-Cha, Fantasy Bagels and Baseball. So stay tuned for that from 10 to 12. After that, it's the Weekend Fantasy Update. That's from 12 to 2. So just stay tuned for the rest of the day. You'll get a lot of good information. We don't all talk about the same stuff, so it's good to keep it moving. With only 2 hours, can't possibly go through every single game and every player. But I will say a little thing I wanted to do is kind of put a highlight on some of those guys we might have missed or we might have been right on. We actually talked about Cody Bellinger earlier, but last night, you want to talk about Clayton Kershaw and how good he is? Well, he's no Irvin Santana, George Kurtz. And I got to give credit to Matt Modica. He liked Irvin Santana earlier this year. I didn't take his advice, and I got players like Matt Moore and Matt Harvey. I should have taken a shot with Irvin Santana towards the end of my staff, but here he sits. He throws 7-inning scoreless ball. He only gave up 2 hits. He walked 5 guys, actually, but he's pitching to a 1.5 ERA, and he's 6-1. He'd probably be in the lead for the American League Cy Young right now. Your thoughts, George, on the resurgence of Irvin Santana?
Pretty damn amazing is what my thoughts are right now. Sold a soul to the devil, you know, going to turn into a pumpkin at midnight. This is what everything goes through my mind here. When is this ending? Because there's no way this goes on for the next 4 months. Sell, Mortimer, sell.
Matt, I'll let you expand upon that, and then I got another player to talk about from this game.
Sure. I mean, look, Irvin Santana is a good back of the rotation guy. That's what I was liking about him. I mean, he has been pitching quite well since the middle of last June, but everything just plays. He's got like a 98% left on base, like a 1-something BABIP. I mean, it's been really good. He keeps pitching well. I mean, everything's pointing to this is not going to last. I didn't think it would last year from the middle of June till the end of the season, but it did. But like I said, the only thing about Santana is you just can't sell him because nobody's going to buy him. So you pretty much got to, you know, he's a guy you're just going to hold on to. And if it starts going south, you either bench him or at some point you cut him. But, I mean, hey, that's what you got to. You got to try and hit on some guys like this.
Yeah. And by the way, so in conjunction with that, you know, the Twins are 18-14. None of us expect it to last. There were some guys that we liked on the Twins. By the way, Miguel Sano hitting .305. Kenys Vargas hitting .279 right now. But another guy that I never would have expected this many save opportunities this early in the season is Brandon Kinsler. He picked up his 9th save last night, Matt.
He's got more saves than strikeouts on the season. I saw that. I retweeted that from the Closer News. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, no, he's getting the job done. I mean, the Twins, like Vargas, I think that's a guy. Hopefully I picked him up for a buck in some leagues the last couple of weeks or really cheap. Hopefully he can turn it out. Sano's power is real. The average is not going to last. I think he's got like a .475 BABIP or something outrageous. But hey, the Twins are doing it for now. The thing with the Twins, the Reds, the Brewers, it's where will these teams be in 2 months? You know, teams do get off to hot starts, but it all with baseball, the beauty of it, why they call it the dog days of August, is, you know, the bad teams usually go by the wayside.
George, so the entire Minnesota Twins organization is a house of cards right now. Is that what we're saying? Santana, Kinsler, and everything is going to go down the drain soon enough?
It's a Minnesota-Milwaukee World Series coming up. The ratings bonanza.
Pretty crazy. Milwaukee just a game out of first in the Central. But, yeah, you're right. We got some teams that we didn't expect to be there. I will say on that front, you know, the Yankees are playing a little bit above where we thought they would be. And the Orioles are looking good as well. George, you were a little bit down on the Orioles coming into the season. You just didn't think they would last. This could be another situation where they fade. Obviously, we have other teams being pretty competitive. They're only 4 games in front of the Red Sox, which is who we kind of anticipated would be leading this division. So Orioles have kind of been getting it done. They're getting really good starting pitching as of late.
Baseball is designed to weed out teams that are just having hot starts or a hot moment during the middle of the season, whatever that might be. Matt said it already. Over the next couple of months, this is going to change. The Orioles and that pitching staff is, ugh. I know Bundy's pitching well, but you can already see him trailing off a little bit. I don't think he can last a full season, not as a starter, not yet. And I wonder if that'll ever be the case. Gausman's up and down, mainly down so far this year. And then everybody else. I mean, who are you worried about? Tillman? Ugh. Wade Miley? Ugh. Abaldo Hernandez? Ugh, ugh. I mean, and this is all on Baltimore. They've had this problem for years now and haven't fixed it. You know, so, no, I don't see them being able to last. The Yankees will trail off as well, too. You know, they'll have some problems there with their pitching staff. You're already seeing CeCe Sabathia, who's a softball pitcher up there. But they'll keep him in the rotation the rest of the season to get beat up. That's what they do. And, you know, the other guys, Montgomery will trail off a bit. Severino Pineda and Tanaka, they might be okay. But they're not going to hit home runs like they've been hitting either. Judge is going to go through a slump. You know, they're going to have these problems with the younger players. The Yankees' goal is really to be more competitive in 18-19 when the rest of the youngsters come on board and they can add some players during free agency. Really, anything they get this year as far as competitiveness is gravy. It's a bonus.
You know, it's funny what you said about Gausman and the rest of the pitching staff, because those are guys that I have on my watch list right now. I need to get rid of, like, one of these pitchers. So to explain my team really quickly, we're not going to dive into it too much. I lost all 3 of my closers that I drafted at the beginning of the year in Cam Bedrosian, Zach Britton. Sorry, burying the lead. Zach Britton, Cam Bedrosian, and Frankie Rodriguez, K-Rod. We knew K-Rod was going to lose his job. It ultimately happened. No surprise whatsoever. But Bedrosian and Britton are out. So I had to pick up Fernando Rodney just so I had somebody maintaining some saves. But in all of this, losing those 3 closers are hurting my ratios some as well. I'm not picking up any save numbers. I'm also getting blown up because I have 2 starting pitchers that stink in Matt Harvey and Matt Moore, at least for the time being. So I'm looking at guys like Gausman to maybe replace Harvey or whomever. There's decent guys out there on the waiver wire. So I did pick up Charlie Morton. So I got the hookup there. He pitched all right earlier this week. So I appreciate that, George. But in any event, you're right. There's baseball is the type of sport where we see these guys get weeded out. 33 games does not a season make, so there's plenty more time to go there. One other guy I actually wanted to talk about is somebody that you were kind of scared of going into the season, George, and that is Carlos Carrasco, who to date has actually been – I was just looking up his stats the other night when he threw. And to date, he's actually been really good. He's 7 starts so far, the 48 innings pitched. He's pitching to a 1.86 ERA, 4-2, strikeouts 46 in 48 innings. So that horrendous March where he had over a 10 ERA seems to have smoothed out once the season began.
Once again, I think you read my column here, Mike. I also mentioned Carrasco in Who's Not column. More because than I was making fun of myself when it was come to draft time, you know, Carrasco or Danny Salazar. I ended up going Salazar because I was worried about the injury to Carrasco. He had a horrible spring fastball. Velocity was down. He had the broken hand last year. Talk about another injury in spring. And I stayed away from him. You know, I got scared, stayed away from him. And now that's backfiring as it looks like he's fine. Salazar's having all sorts of issues. Trevor Bauer's terrible. So regretting that decision I made. I think in hindsight, I think I made the right decision. The injury pitcher scares you. You know, they get hurt anyway. Plus now you're hearing he has hurt. So I think I did the right thing there, but it's not working out for me.
Well, yeah, man, I'll ask you a different question. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, you were talking about guys to kind of target. You're looking like Danny Salazar's got an ERA of, like, say, 5.5. The FIP is, like, 3-something. He does get the strikeouts. He's a guy that if he does get cut in your league, I would pick him up, even if just to put him on my bench, if not to start him. I do believe better days are ahead. He's got to figure something out, but this is too talented of a pitcher.
Rank Danny Salazar, Matt Harvey, and Matt Moore for the rest of the season.
I would go Salazar, Harvey, Moore.
Okay, so you got problems with
Same
Matt
thing
Moore
for
right
me.
Now. So you guys got problems with Matt Moore right now.
Matt Moore is just, I mean, I thought he'd be better than this. I mean, I have to say, he's really gone south. I'm a little nervous. I think today he's facing the Reds. He's pitching today. And the Reds have been, since the All-Star break last year, like I think one of the best teams against left-handers, was like OPS-wise. So I would be nervous.
So I might jettison Matt Moore for Danny Salazar if I can get him, or even a Kevin Gausman if he's out.
Hey,
there.
By the way, I got something for you. You know, we were talking earlier about long days at the ballpark, long games. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you mentioned, Mike, the Yankees and Houston's canceled today. They're going to have a doubleheader tomorrow, a single admission doubleheader, but the first game's going to start at 2. The second game starts at 8.
Oh, man.
That's a long gap.
And the ceremonies start this. Oh, it's single admission?
Single admission. Which means you're going to have, even the ceremony starts at 7:30, you're going to have a 2-hour gap between games. That's psychotic. I don't know why the Yankees are doing that. Are they covering themselves in case the 2 o'clock game has the extra innings? I guess they are. But, man, I mean, think about it.
Well, who's going to go?
The earliest you're getting out of there is 11 o'clock. It's a 10-hour day at the ballpark on Mother's Day.
Who's going to go to that first game, though? Because that night game was already well sold out. It's been sold out for months.
So I guess if you have tickets to the night game, you can then elect to go to the first game.
The first game is probably going to be pretty empty, I'll be honest. That's an odd move for the Yankees. Well, we'll talk about Derek Jeter for the rest of the show, because I know Matt Bodica wants to talk about where he ranks in the Yankees lore. So we'll talk a little bit about a couple other topics when we come back. On the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Mike, Matt, and George back after this. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. A couple of quick news and notes. I saw a story this morning. Former wide receiver Michael Jackson played for the Browns and the Ravens. Sadly died in a motorcycle accident last night. So our condolences to those organizations. May you rest in peace. As we continue through some other news, I saw the clip of Chris Iannetta from the Arizona Diamondbacks last night. He got hit in the face with a 93-mile-an-hour fastball, and it is worse than it sounds. Amazingly, he walked off, and they are doing some tests on him, but it seems like he might get away with it with like a split lip, maybe a couple of stitches, if that. But God, that was brutal. I don't know if you guys saw that at all, but man, just if he's on your lineups anywhere, obviously the weekend is probably he's not going to come back in there. But God, that was brutal. It was the first pitch of the inning, so it was pretty brutal. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I did not I was reading up on it this morning.
God,
I hate saying those things, man. Usually when I'm on these shows, you know, and the host brings up something like this that I haven't seen, you know, I'll go on YouTube or whatever and I'll look at it. But seeing someone get hit in the face with a baseball, not something I need to see. Listen, hitting a round ball, a round bat going 95 and not being afraid for your life is why, in my mind, hitting is the hardest thing to do in professional sports.
Yeah, and it wasn't – the pitch just slipped. He turned into it a little bit, but it was just not something he would have expected to happen. So I hope he's on the mend pretty soon. As far as the Yankee thing was concerned, George, you had me thinking all during the break of why they did that. Here's what I think. The ceremonies are going to be kicking off earlier than 8. Yeah, so they just don't want to even mess around with it. You know what I mean? Game's already sold out. They could care less who's there for the 2:00 game. I mean, if you're with people that don't care, and you're with your family maybe for Mother's Day, you want to go to the park early. Like, who knows? Yeah, maybe you stroll over there at 4 instead of 2, and you catch part of the first game and roll into the second game. But I know
what are you gonna do for that hour and a half?
I don't know. I don't know. Wait,
tomorrow's not an 80-degree day, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
It's like it's gonna be a coolish day, so it's gonna be, you know, it's not like you're going there in the summer or anything. The weather hasn't really changed here. I don't think it's gonna rain, but it's not gonna be the greatest day either. I'd love to go, but 10 hours at the ballpark, you know, you're not sitting in a recliner. You know, the seats are better. They're not recliner seats, okay? It's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to have some back issues. I'd have to take a bottle of Advil with me.
I was going to say, you got to bring a yoga mat in there, get in your stretches, Matt Modica.
Yeah, that's a major commitment. I mean, I haven't been to the New Yankee Stadium yet. I am looking forward to going, though. I hope to do that this year. But, I mean, maybe if you got some money, don't they have, like, a 5-star steakhouse in there or something? I don't know. So maybe you do that.
I'd want dinner at 5.
You take mom, you get her a nice meal. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out how you do it. Otherwise, you got to show up like 4:00. I mean, I don't know. Even that's a commitment.
I don't know, George. I think they just decided to punt the tickets on today's game. Ironically, I'd offered tickets.
I'm reading the notice now.
Yeah, I had a friend offer me a ticket to today's game. And it was a luxury box ticket, and ooh, I wasn't going to be able to go because of family stuff, but I realized what the weather was going to be, and I said no, so I didn't have to get into the rearranging of family stuff. My son's going to the circus later, so I got to take him there. I'm not going, but I got to give him a ride. Yes. So he found out this morning, and he's bouncing off the walls now. So in any event, I had to do all this kind of stuff, and I was sort of happy that the weather was going to be bad, so I didn't have to think about how I missed a luxury box ticket for today's game. But they're punting the tickets. It's a very rare situation, but the Yankees are not going to mess with Derek Jeter's day. And, Matt, I'll let you talk about Jeter for the next hour. It's Mike, Matt, and George back in a couple of minutes for the second hour of the Roto Experts in the Morning.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
We're back for hour number 2 on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Mike Blewett, Matt Modica, George Kurtz. Please join us and hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. Our poll is up there talking about if you would last through a 17-inning game. Would you stay till the end? Would you punt after the the 12th inning, that's kind of what I would do. I'd say 12 is enough for me. Would you leave after 9? Hey, I paid for 9 innings. That's all I need. I've been entertained. I'm going to leave. Or are you the guy that's like, dude, 7th inning stretch, beer sales are done, we're out of here. Like, I get it. I get that some people don't got a lot of time. Once the beer's done, they're out of there. So I'm a 12th inning guy. These two would stick it out. Honestly, if I had no other responsibilities, I'd probably stick it out too. And apparently, in my youth, I went to an 18-inning Mets-Pirates game in 1985. I have no memory of this game, but I'm sure I was wildly entertained because I was 12. And what better for a 12-year-old that loved baseball than to be in a baseball park? Even though I didn't root for either team necessarily. I've never been much of a Mets hater, George, despite being a diehard Yankees fan. I've never been much of a Mets hater. So I went to a lot of games back when the Mets were really good, 85, 86, in that range.
I never understood the if you're a Yankee fan, why you hate the Mets. We play the Mets, they play the Mets 4 times a year. All right, I'll dislike the Mets during those 4 times. I know, and maybe it's the industry we're in, but I like seeing good baseball. I mean, I think it was Matt who said it earlier. I kind of root that. I hope that Matt Harvey regains what he was because he was electrifying. He was must-watch baseball, must-see TV. So I hope he does gain it back. I don't think he will, but I hope he does. I don't root against the Mets unless they're playing the Yankees, unless for some reason it'll help the Yankees' cause. I'm a Yankee fan. The Mets don't play in the American League. They have nothing to do with me. I dislike Boston a lot more than I dislike the Mets. But even then, with all the fantasy teams we play on, I've got Mookie Betts, I've got Xander Bogaerts, Chris Sale. It's hard to root against any team, really, nowadays, because generally that means I'm rooting against myself somewhere.
Matt, how about yourself? On the flip side of things, do you you must be frustrated with the Yankees' success in light of the Mets' lack of success, but are you somebody that hates the Yankees?
I think more like growing up, I was a Yankee hater. I mean, more for the fact that they have that storied history. The Mets really were never good. And then in the mid-80s, the Mets got really good, and nobody was a Yankee fan all of a sudden. It was from that mid-80 range when Gooden came up to the late 80s or 90s. The Mets had a nice part of this of the city of Manhattan. And then it was kind of crazy how it flipped in the mid-90s. Everybody was a Yankee fan again, and nobody was a Met fan. So, I mean, I think it's sick-ul, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think the bandwagon is real in New York, certainly. You know, when the Knicks are good, people are all over it, and the Rangers are good, celebrities start showing up. I think that's just the nature of most towns, but New York, obviously, with the sort of a celebrity output, you got a little bit of that as well. So talk about something I know you guys really love to talk about in the next break. I'm going to tease it that way. It's concerning a certain video game cover.
Okay.
That I know you guys love to talk about. I know George is really interested. It's Mike, Matt, and George back after this. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are the Roto Experts in the Morning, and you should go to rotoexperts.com to get your exclusive Edge in season fantasy baseball package. It's your ultimate bench coach for the 2017 season. Stay ahead of the pack. You got in-depth statistical breakdowns, trend analysis, player insights. Become a waiver wizard. You can read George's Who's Hot or Who's Not. I would tell you, to give you a little bit of a tease, we are putting together our fantasy football exclusive Edge package, which is chock full of strategy advice and player rankings and all that kind of stuff. So you can take baseball now and help yourself. It's really helped me a lot, I'll say. I wouldn't call myself a neophyte when it comes to fantasy baseball. I'm a lifelong baseball fan. I've said this before. I just have not been as heavily involved in fantasy baseball in previous seasons. I've had a team for a number of years and on. But it's helped me a little bit to tweak these lineups. I will say Conforto got dropped in my league. And I don't know why, but he was.
Terry Collins in your league?
Yeah. So it's a great, nice one. That's a great one from George. And I booted Jose Bautista, and I benched Bautista last night. So the kick in the junk on his way off my team as he hits a homer last night I'm done. I'm good riddance, Jose. And Conforto is in, and he is out. I picked up Charlie Morton. I made some other moves. I realized that my waiver wire moves were lagging behind some of the teams that were doing better than me. But remember, I was frantically – I'm going to go off my team here for a second. Remember, I was frantically texting you guys about how my team is falling apart. I lost three closers basically in the span of a week. And other guys were getting hurt, and Robbie Cano is day-to-day, and Mitch Haniger is on the sidelines, and what the hell's happening? Well, my team caught fire. I went from ninth place to second place in about a five-day span because my team started hitting the ball like crazy. Lucroy caught fire. Hosmer, Baez, Segura, Gregorius, even Lorenzo Cain, and Aaron Judge, obviously. Brandon Drury's still hitting really well. So my team caught fire, and I shot up the rankings. It's leveled off a little bit, but I'm in the mix, so I'm happy about it. What I've realized now is I only have enough saves that I'm only going to be, at best, fifth place. So I don't need to tack on a whole bunch of relievers to fix this because I have like 16 saves or something on the season, and first place has 44. I'm never going to chase that guy down. He's got like five closers, and I'm done. So I'm just going to maintain and try and tweak the other stuff. It's really about the starting pitching and fixing some of my ratios than it is chasing that one category.
Yeah, you don't have to be first in every category. I mean, that's fine. If you can be like in the middle of the pack and just saves and, you know, other areas dominate. If, like you say, if you get the ratios with your starting pitching and you get a lot of strikeouts. So, I mean, there's... What you're doing is correct, though. You're seeing that he has a big lead. I mean, there still is plenty of season left. He might start trading some closers away. Some guys might get hurt. You might fall into a couple more closers because there's going to be more turnover, as we know. So, but I think your approach is absolutely correct.
Yeah, the K's are what are killing me right now because I was getting some of those from the closers and what I thought I would get from the starting pitching. So those aren't numbers that I expected this team to be low in. Batting average, I thought I'd struggle a little bit and a couple other things, but whatever. The guy who's in first place in all the hitting categories, he just punted stolen bases and he's got 10s everywhere else. It's a 10-team league. So in any event, George, I appreciate your help and all that other kind of stuff. So that was a segue from the Roto Experts in-season baseball package. We are putting together the football package now. I've got a couple of articles I'm writing. George, I'm sure you've probably picked up some assignments. Matt, I don't know if you've got anything, but to tease mine, you're going to get about 3,000 words on offensive lines, and I'm going to do a little bit on coaching changes as well. George, you want to preview any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I'll have two columns in my rankings coming out, I think by June 5th. I'll be honest with you, I don't remember the columns I'm doing. Usually I do running back depth for each team and maybe old faces and new places or where free agents ended up. That's usually what I write. I think that's what they generally assign me. So I'll be getting
like
in those.
Kind of
like I said, yes, so do I. It's long, you know, it takes a while, but they're fun to write, so that's what I'll have coming out. And the rankings get updated all the time as we change things along. Those are more tedious, but also necessary.
Yeah, I like the old faces, new places kind of stuff because it gives people a good sense of what we can expect as they change teams. Matt, how about yourself?
I don't have any assignments, but I will be doing my first NFFC draft champions this week. It should be underway, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday. So I'll be looking forward to that. And before you know it, football will be here.
Yeah, George was – so to let you folks in on something, we were texting each other, and I was freaking out on my baseball team because I was falling apart, lost all my closures, guys all over the DL. And George texts me back as a note of encouragement that football is only 4 months away, which is not – I didn't want to punt my team on May 8th, and I don't have to just yet. So see if I can chase some of these other guys
down. I mean,
down.
But in all it honesty, and for the people listening – even if you're off to a bad start right now, just stay with it. Other people in your league are going to punt it at some point. And you can make a lot of movements over the summer. I mean, August, September as well. I find it a lot of people give up too soon. Like we were talking about real baseball. Let's see where these teams are in a couple of months. Things are going to change. Just because you had a bad first 6 weeks doesn't mean you're not going to have a really good next 6 weeks, and other teams are going to have bad 6 weeks.
The guy who's in first place is in my league is absolutely dominating. It will be tough to chase him down, but see what I can do. My hitting, I can't complain at all. I probably have the second or third best hitting team, and I just got to fix some of this. You know, the Matt Harvey, Matt Moore stuff kind of hurt me. I would have liked a little bit more consistency out of Danny Duffy so far, but he's a guy that, you know, we still like for the rest of the season. In any event, as Matt says, don't punt on the season. I know it's early to talk about football and getting prepared for your drafts, but we're going to have the exclusive Edge preseason package or NFL draft package available for you sometime in June. I know our articles are due here in a couple of weeks, so just be prepared for that. It's a lot of good content in there. You'll be ready to go when your draft comes up, even if it's early. So speaking of the NFL, a couple of quick stories to go through, and that is one that George loves because I know he believes in curses and all that kind of stuff. Tom Brady finally makes the cover of Madden. His teammate Rob Gronkowski underwent the curse last year, being hurt for most of the season. But I saw a stat, and it was on ESPN yesterday, of the quarterbacks that have appeared on the cover. Dante Culpepper, following year, ACL, massive knee injury, basically ended his career. Vince Young, the year after appearing, threw 9 touchdowns and 17 picks. Donovan McNabb had a sports hernia injury that caused him to miss a ton of time. We had Drew Brees threw a career-high 22 interceptions after appearing on that on the cover. So there's many instances of players, quarterbacks in particular, appearing on the cover of Madden. So, Matt, A, do you play Madden? And B, are you a full believer in the curse?
First one, I haven't played Madden in a few years. The game is fantastic. Probably the best sports video game. That and, like, if I went back to, like, Sega 94 hockey, has to be one of them, too. That was an amazing game. The curse, do I really believe in it? No. I'll draft Tom Brady. I probably won't own Tom Brady because he's going way too high for my liking, but I would not draft him. I mean, it wouldn't stop me from drafting him because he was on the cover of Madden.
George, you should probably write an article for the draft package about how the Madden curse is going to impact Tom Brady's draft ADP.
It'd be a very quick one-sentence article.
Yeah. Yeah, don't. You're not allowed to swear during the article, although I'm sure you would want to. I just thought it was really funny how I don't believe in the curses, obviously, but the Madden stuff is crazy, the amount of bad things that have happened to guys on it, particularly quarterbacks. When they show, I wasn't even intending to do a segment on it, but when they flashed the lack of success of the quarterbacks that have appeared on it, I was totally stunned. There was another quarterback that appeared that threw a ton of interceptions, missing the one guy, but all those other guys, Brees and Culpepper and Young and McNabb, it was tons of lack of, maybe it was Matt Leinart or something was on there. I don't even remember. But in any event, that's it for the curse. And we'll see what Tom Brady can do. I mean, obviously, how are you going to doubt the guy? I actually thought the suspension last year was a help to him and the Patriots, and I just wonder if the 16 games takes an extra toll.
Yeah, they saw it that way too.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be back in the next segment. Talk about some baseball coming up today. Maybe talk about Colin Kaepernick. That guy's still not on a team. What's up with that? Mike, Matt, and George Sucks. Back after this. Back and going over some injury news, because we actually kind of skipped past it. We talked about the Chris Iannetta situation and some other guys want to update you on, guys that I was taking a look at. So Madison Bumgarner, Chris Iannetta, we'll find out what the story is, if there's any concussion issues or any how long he might be out with that. He got hit in the face with a pitch last night. it's worse than it sounds. So if you're squeamish, I wouldn't take a look at the video, just being honest with you. He did walk off under his own power, but it was bad. It was in the Giancarlo Stanton range, I would say. So, and he suffered a lot of damage. I think Iannetta might get off easy. In any event, moving on, Baumgartner not ready to resume throwing. He says he feels a lot better. He had the AC sprain off the dirt bike incident, but I think there's not too many updates here other than that. We're just going to have to keep pushing towards the All-Star break. Am I, is that fair to say, Matt?
Yeah, that would be my expectations. Always look on the longer end than the shorter end. You know, he's going to have to, even when he's deemed ready, he's got to build up arm strength. And you know what? At this point, the Giants season, by the time he's ready to come back, looks like it's going to be over. So I don't see them rushing him.
Yeah, I mean, that's two of the things I actually made some notes about today. The Pirates, I think, George, you gave us a sense that, like, this team, you didn't feel good about it when Starling Marte was in the lineup. He's out, and it's hurt Polanco, and McCutcheon's terrible. So, you know, between the Giants and the Pirates, I don't think we saw one coming, but the Pirates, I think you called aptly. So those two teams are really plummeting towards the bottom of the standings.
Yeah, I mean, the Pirates, it's a shame. I think the Pirates, in my mind now, are on Garrett Cole. Are they going to try and trade because they know they can't re-sign him eventually, try and get his max value out of him by the deadline? Because if there's a team that they would match up with well, it could be the Yankees and all the young prospects they have. The Yankees would certainly like to have a young pitcher, guy that throws hard in Garrett Cole. That's what I'll be watching with Pittsburgh. I think they are done. That offense needs it needs some work, to put it nicely, especially in the infield. Yeah, the outfield is set when Marte does come back, and they got Austin Meadows in the minors, so it seems to be good there. But they need some infield prospects other than Josh Bell.
Do you think, though, that the Yankees would be in that mix, George?
Oh, yes. For Garrett Cole? Absolutely. Yeah. If Garrett Cole became on the market, the Yankees would be the Yankees, for as good as their farm system is, what they're lacking is top-end pitchers, especially with Caprellian undergoing TJ surgery. I mean, you got Sheffield. He's somebody who could be a number two, maybe a number three at the end. I don't think he's a number one, but they're lacking top-end starting pitching, so that's really where their weakness lies.
So that trade market, say this June, July, Matt, you think the Yankees would make a run at Garrett Cole now?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think the Yankees, as George said, they're in prime position. They have all these young, talented players. They need pitching. The one thing they don't have is a wealth of minor league pitching. They have the hitting. They have the players. Garrett Cole's young. I bought in on Garrett Cole, and he's been pitching really well. And his last start, Greinke was the headline, obviously. The guy had a no-hitter going into the eighth inning, whatever. But I was really impressed by Cole and the fact that that second and third inning, he had two runners on base in each of those with one out or less. He escaped both innings of allowing one run each. He wound up throwing seven innings, two runs total. The strikeouts are coming back. He's healthy. This is a guy that if I'm the Yankees, I would definitely be looking at. If I'm the Dodgers, I'd be looking at. He's young. He's what, you know, Matt Harvey was well ahead of Garrett Cole. Those roles have reversed now.
Yeah, he's going to be 27 here in September. So it's really his age 26 season. He's only 1-4 on the season, but it doesn't tell the whole tale. 3.06 ERA. He's got the most starts in the majors, 50 innings already, George, with 47 Ks. So when you're looking at all the numbers, don't take a look at the one win. Everything else tracking really nicely.
Yeah, I said I wrote about him yesterday, just pointing out that the Pirates can't hit. And it's hurting him. All his other numbers are fantastic. He's pretty much the poster boy for why you'd rather have play in a league with quality starts rather than wins. It's tough for a starting pitcher to capture those if his team's not hitting. Quality starts is a fair determination as far as what he's done.
Yeah. As we keep going through some of these injuries, Alex Gordon got pulled from the game last night, tightness in his groin. So he had chased a line drive that was hit over his head by Caleb Joseph. So we'll see. Instead of precautionary measure, we'll see what happens there. A's manager Bob Melvin announced Friday that left-hander Sean Manea will return from the DL Monday to start against the Mariners. Guy you've been waiting on, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of their better pitchers. He's a guy I want to see. I want to see the progressions. It's a shame he got hurt. I know the ERA was a little high to begin with, but, I mean, the strikeouts were there. This is a kid that has some really good stuff. And, you know, like, the thing with the A's, though, it's hard to buy into their pitching. I mean, I own Jesse Hahn in a couple of leagues, but their defense is just so terrible. Their team is just so terrible. So, you know, in deeper leagues, you have to go after these guys. But the A's are kind of, if in a shallower league, I would try and stay away.
Yeah. It wouldn't be an injury update if it weren't, if we didn't talk about the Mets. So the update on Cespedes, George, is that there's no return date, according to Sandy Alderson. He expects him back soon. Put that one in quotes. So he recently resumed baseball activities such as batting practice. So I think they're going to take it easy with the guy that they have a big investment in, right?
I mean, what's your definition of soon? And that's kind of funny when I read when I hear that. So look, the Mets are a train wreck right now. I don't know what the thing is. It can't be over trainer's fault. It is really just more bad luck than anything else. Now Familia's out for the season with the blood clot, or more than likely for the season. A lot of this is really just bad luck. But it's funny, if you're not a Mets fan, it's funny how it's just piling up on one team. It's also kind of funny if you don't have any of these players. And so far, I've been lucky in that direction.
I have a lot of Cespedes. Yes. And from what I heard yesterday, I think it's like the end of May, early June. As a Mets fan and a fantasy owner of Cespedes, I hope it's like probably even maybe more towards the beginning of June. Let this guy get fully healthy. They were stupid not to put him on the DL the last time. They rushed him back, and look what happened. So the thing is with the Mets, as bad as everything is, the National League isn't, you know, it's not like there's so many great teams. So I mean, there's the Cubs. Say the Nationals and the Dodgers are like the three top teams. The wild card is still wide open.
Yeah, you know, you could probably count on the Dodgers and the Nats and the Cubs, and then after that, as you're right, it's a, you know, it's way too early. I mean, they're 16-18. It's not like they're the Pirates, which are, or the Giants, which have plummeted far, you know, are plummeting out of the race this early. So, I'm with you. A couple other guys, Steven Souza. He's been out of lineup for a couple of days. He jammed his right thumb. Somebody to keep in mind, he got a cortisone injection, feeling, quote, significantly better. So I think today is the best-case scenario. Worst case is tomorrow. So Souza could be in lineups today. Keep in mind when the Rays release that. So Robbie Cano, this is, obviously the news I wanted to hear, one of the best players on my fantasy team, held out for a second straight game. Yeah, due to a sore quadricep muscle in his right leg. So status for this weekend series of the Blue Jays is uncertain. I would simply say, as we just talked about, if he is hurt, let's put him on the 10-day DL and not mess around with it. They messed around with Cespedes in New York, and he found himself out for much longer. If Cano needs 10 days off, let's give him 10 days off. So Corey Kluber, unfortunately, no day circled for his return to the mound, but he has resumed throwing. So light at the end of the tunnel, Corey Kluber. Is this another guy we have to look at All-Star break, Matt?
I don't think so. I mean, from what I heard, he hasn't started throwing. I thought it was less severe than what it's turning out to be. I would definitely take a shot on Kluber adverse to like some of these other guys that are going to be out, or even like a David Price who's supposed to do a rehab start. I think if you can get Kluber, I would definitely take the investment to get Kluber now if possible.
George Hanley Ramirez out for a couple of days here. Nothing looks like nothing with the DL yet, but he's being reevaluated before the game today again, I believe. So he exited the fourth in the fourth inning on Thursday. He was out last night. We'll have to check him for the rest of the weekend here. Hanley Ramirez has improved quite a bit after a slow start.
He has, but now he's banked up again. It's frustrating more than anything else with Hanley, but I don't think it's anything serious, and I agree with Matt about Kluber. I'd buy rather than sell.
Ryan Braun on the 10-day DL. Juris Familia, we talked about earlier. He is placed on the 10-day DL, but we expect this to be the rest of the season, right?
Yeah, he's Matt? Done. He's done. If he came back, when is he coming back? At August at some point, September. I mean, if Addison Reed is closing and getting the job done, they're not going to be like, well, Familia's back. Let's His season is done. I don't even see him coming back. The thing with Ryan Braun and Hanley are like the AL and NL versions of each other. They're just always banged up. You know, when healthy, they do produce, though. So it's, you know, it's kind of, you know, and those are two guys that are getting older in their careers. So you got to deal with these nagging little injuries and headaches.
Speaking of somebody that's always hurt, George, Troy Tulowitzki may be back next week. What do you think?
What do you mean? What do you mean he's always hurt? Troy is a beacon of health.
Yeah.
Beacon of Who cares? I mean, if you need a short, maybe you had Trevor Story and he's available. Who knows? But, what are you expecting from Troy Tulowitzki? It's May. He's going to get hurt again. It's just a matter of not if, but when. Is it June, July, August? He'll get banged up again. It's frustrating with Tulowitzki. Great player, couldn't stay healthy, didn't have that ability.
You mentioned the last guy I was going to talk about. So, Matt, really quick, Trevor Story, he's on the 10-day DL. He's been brutal this season. He has 6 homers, but hitting .180, it seems like maybe this has been a result of an injury, a nagging injury, his lack of production.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if you can get him on the cheap, the strikeouts are just through the roof. If you can get him on the cheap, I'd take a shot.
All right, that's it. We'll talk about today's games coming up in the next segment before we hand it over to Tony and Cha-Cha at the top of the hour. It's Mike, Matt, and George on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Back after this. Back. Talk a little bit about today's games. There's one thing I wanted to talk about because I'm going to close the show with it. Kaepernick is still not on a roster. The only reason, and this is a kind of a crazy story that keeps coming up throughout this season, is he being blackballed? Is like, why isn't he on a team? I said a few weeks back, I don't think you can say that the entire league is blackballing, and we have to see until what happens in training camps and as things get closer. And I don't know what he's asking for. Is he asking to be a starter? Those jobs are kind of all taken. But what is curious is that we did see two bigger pieces make decisions. And ironically, they both went to the broadcast booth between Tony Romo and Jay Cutler. I think Cutler just sort of decided, I don't want to really be a backup anywhere. And I made $100-something million, and that's it. Romo, obviously a different kind of story, injuries and all that stuff piled up. But Kaepernick, like, unless he's declaring to be a starter, he's obviously good enough to be on one of these rosters, George.
I think you brought up a lot of the correct points. Does he want to be a backup? Because he'd have to be. You know, first of all, I have no doubt there are some teams that, you know, listen, they're not signing no matter what. Doesn't matter. They don't want to deal with the publicity. Just like the Tim Tebow thing, same thing. You know, they don't want all the extracurriculars that he brings with them. You know, and that's something he decided to do what he did. He had to know that this was going to be a possibility. The second thing is, why are people acting like he is a great quarterback? He's been terrible for years now. Now, granted, San Fran didn't have much of an offense around him, especially receivers-wise, talent-wise. That certainly hurt, but he didn't lift anybody up to help him either. I mean, he had to almost start from scratch. I heard someone say the other day, oh, he has to be on a team. He led the Niners to the Super Bowl. That was years ago. That means nothing right now. Absolutely nothing. Should he be on a roster? Absolutely. But he'd have to be as a backup working his way up. I think you said it right about Cutler. Here's a guy who said, you know what? Screw it. I don't want to be a backup. I made all this money. I don't want to do that. Fine. Leave. If that's the way Kaepernick feels, Kaepernick, you've proven nothing in this league. You know, and I don't know if it is or it isn't. I think he could be a backup for a few teams. I think actually Dallas would make sense for one of them, a team that where they could use his skills to get outside the pocket, because Dak Prescott does the same thing. I mentioned earlier, I think Seattle makes some sense. Same thing. I don't think you ever want him to be the backup for a traditional team, you know, a traditional quarterback team that has a drop back pass that doesn't scramble. But any team that's used to a scrambling quarterback, I do believe could use his services. But as I said, no doubt in my mind that some teams want nothing to do with him, and I'm not going to tell you those teams are wrong.
Yeah, he became a lightning rod, somebody that he just became too much of a headache for too many teams. And when you see a guy like Blaine Gabbert getting a backup job and he doesn't have one, I think that says a lot. I agree with George. I don't think he's really that good, and I think the teams with the scheme that fits him are really the only places that should be looking for him. Because if he goes in a pro style, like traditional style, I don't think that's going to work out. I think that's proven it's not going to work out. So, I mean, I'm really not – I really don't care about Kaepernick, to be honest with you.
Yeah. No, look, from a fantasy standpoint, I think his relevance is zero this year. I just think it's a story that keeps coming up and people are questioning it. I do think George is right. I think there's a few teams out there that are saying no. I would just add from a here's one thing you can never separate from it. He was really close to leading the Niners to a Super Bowl. You can't question that. Harbaugh did a really nice job bringing him along. He made that decision, and he played well through that stretch, and especially in that one playoff game against the Packers. But I would state that he's only got a very small handful of 300-yard games in his career. He is a career 59.8% completion percentage guy. Last year, his touchdown-interception ratio was really good, 16-4. But I think I've never been a real fan of his skill set. I think he's a tremendous athlete, but I think there's only a few backup spots where he's going to be an asset, whether it's Carolina or Buffalo or Seattle or a couple of other places like Dallas, even George. And I don't know if those owners, you know, are down on what Kaepernick did from a protest standpoint, or people just don't want any of the fanfare to come with their backup quarterback. It's always that kind of – it's part of the value proposition, right?
You don't want distractions.
Did you really want the Tim Tebow circus coming through when he was your third-string quarterback in New York? Of course, the Jets did it, but they're the Jets. It's a disaster there for the last 30 years, so more. So what, I mean,
wow.
You know, they're they are. I mean, it's one of the biggest jokes of an organization and the way they're run year in, year out. Sometimes they can't see the forest for the trees and how messed up they are. George, you and I, and Matt, you too, can sit here and take pot shots. It's great, but we're right when we do, Matt.
Yeah, it's tough in sports. It's the win now mentality. There's so much on the line with these teams, and people want to keep their job. You know, in sports, you know, if you're a head coach or a GM, you're not looking to rebuild. You're not looking down the road unless in very, very small scenarios. So, I mean, I don't blame some of these GMs that, you know, you look at them, they make these moves, and you're like, why the hell did they do this? Why'd they do that? They want to win. They want to keep their job. They know they're not going to be here.
But, Matt, they get fired anyway for doing that. So it's the teams that maintain the proper organizational structure, like New England and Pittsburgh and a few other handfuls of teams that keep their eyes on the prize regardless of the personnel and keeping turning over and making wild stabs at like, this is our window. We better take advantage of it now.
Yeah, you are right.
You have to understand
that.
You're
right about that. But it's like, who are you hiring? It's about hiring the right people. You want to say the structure. But sports has become, you know, it's become such a thing where, first off, sometimes you're not getting the right people in the right positions. I think it's getting better to that point now. But, you know, sometimes you're inheriting a bad team and you just don't have the time to take the proper steps that maybe you'd want to do is what I guess I'm trying to say. Like, maybe you got the right guy, but after a couple of bad seasons where things haven't turned fast enough, they don't get that chance. That's why you see some coaches and some GMs in their second time around, they're a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, I agree with that. George, anything to add?
Oh, I agree. I think I said, I don't know if it was yesterday's show, but no one gets enough time anymore. There'll never be another Tom Landry, Chuck Knoll, Don Shula, because those guys all failed in the beginning, and they'd be gone. They wouldn't have a second chance. You know, there'll be no 20-year coaches. Mike Tomlin seems to be more the because Pittsburgh, they believe in that. But most teams, you know, we're in the age of Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, where all we do is criticize right away. Right away. I mean, we're breaking down everything. And we're, you know, you're done. What? You lost two games? You're done. Next. You know, we have no patience anymore. No one wants a long-term rebuild. We're the microwave society. We want it now.
Yeah. It's that is the reality of things. So all I'll say is that, you know, we'll see what some of these things can do. And the Colin Kaepernick saga will continue if he's not on a roster and he's open about taking a backup role. Then you're really going to see the social component of it start to become a really big conversation. But for now, it's still only May. Guys like Mitch Trubisky are driving their Toyota Camrys to OTAs and mini camps and all that kind of stuff. The mini Camry, the Toyota Camry was a nice touch. The 97 Toyota Camry. So hopefully, I think he can afford a new car now. Hopefully he upgrades soon. But turning the page to today's baseball games, we're going to run through it real quick. We'll just Chris Sale on the mound today. So the big start there. He got John Lester. Like I mentioned, Matt Moore. Hey, I'm going to ask you guys a question. We're going to fix my team right now. I got a little bit of a watch list head of all of these guys. Which one should I pick up and release Matt Moore? I'm going to go down the list. Wade Miley, A.J. Griffin, Hector Santiago, Antonio Senzatela, Chase Anderson, Trevor Cahill, Kendall Graveman, Taiwan Walker out there. Do I pick any of those guys up? Amir Garrett, Kevin Gausman. Which of those guys do you like to get rid of Matt Moore?
I'm trying to think of all the names you said. Gausman, I think he'll get better. Taiwan Walker, I would love to start Taiwan Walker today against the Pirates. He's somebody you should be looking at. Trevor Cahill's a stream at home. When he's pitching at home, I do like him. I don't think he's faring so well on the road. The strikeouts, I mean, ride it while you got it. I don't know the long-term raw ramifications. There was somebody else I think you said, but I might have forgot. But Wade Miley, no bueno. I mean, A.J. Griffin's been pitching pretty well, but he's probably going to get hurt, and I'm not going to buy all into that, but I like him better than Wade Miley. Senzatela doesn't have the swing and miss. He's pitched pretty well. The other guy on his team, Herman Marquez, has pitched better than Senzatela skills-wise. But, you know, I don't really want a Rockies pitcher.
George, you feel the same?
Oh, certainly about the Rockies. No, thank you. I'm not starting any Rockies pitchers. I know that's a disaster when they're at cause. I wrote down a couple of names I wrote down the guys that I was interested in as the names you rattled off. And Gausman and Walker were the same two guys that came to my mind. It'd be one of those two. I'd probably go with Gausman just to avoid Arizona. But I like Walker as well. I think he might end up being the better pitcher here. It's a toss-up between those two for me, Kevin Gausman or Taiwan Walker.
Okay, cool. So I'll figure that out, and so long, Matt Moore. What was the one thing I wanted to ask you, George, with the closer report. What's going on with Washington? So Glover and Kelly are back now off the DL. So what do we got there?
Well, it's a mess. I mean, it's really a mess. If I had to bet, and I said there's been no inside information here, but if I had to claim one, and I did in my home league, they were both available, Kelly and Glover. I'm betting on Glover. I think he's going to end up being the closer there. I don't think they trust Kelly to be able to pitch on multiple days. The fact that he just got hurt, I just think solidifies that. Eventually, they'll make a trade. They have to pick up a closer, Robertson or whoever it might be. But if I'm banking right now, you want saves right now, the person I'm looking to is Cody Glover to close out for Washington.
There you go. Back with one more segment after this to talk a little bit more about today's games. And maybe we'll write a poem to Derek Jeter. Mike, Matt, and George back after this. It's like a little folk music coming back, Mumford and Sons kind of thing. Like I don't mind. It's like a folk music thing. It's kind of sounds a little like Mumford and Sons.
Little
I don't
get
mind
down honky so donk dance.
So good stuff. Well, thanks for listening to the show, folks. Today we're out of here in a couple of minutes. We got fantasy bagels and baseball coming up, as well as the weekend fantasy update after that, and then the NASCAR fantasy hour with Scott Engel and his son Sean. So on the poll today on Fantasy Sports Radio at FNTSY Radio on Twitter, how many innings would you last at a 17 inning baseball game? I'm there until the end wins the poll as we close it out. 38%. Yeah, I totally agree. People are lying about that. I think 5.5 hours, 6 hours. I'm not doing it. I said, I'm
that's why whenever we see
12.
Those games, there's no one in the stands.
Yeah, I'm tapping out at 12. I mean, granted, we have a very diehard sort of sports audience that's listening here, so maybe it's not indicative of the entire population, but I'm tapping out at 12. That's what I voted. That was 31% of the vote. Seventh inning stretch was 19% of the vote, and 9 is enough for me. That was at 12% of the vote. So you guys said that you would stick it out, and the most, the biggest percentage of the audience is with you. So we'll see. We'll do a poll tomorrow. Maybe we'll do a poll on how much do you love Derek Jeter, Matt? Do you think it's too early for them to be? Do you think it's too early for them to be retiring his number?
Maybe in the past I'd say that, but like nowadays, you know, it's the following year or two. Even like football guys' jerseys are getting retired on Monday night. I mean, Jeter, honestly, as someone who's not a Yankee fan and is a Met fan, he was a great player, more of a clutch player, you know, always the guy that stepped up. I mean, when I look back in Yankee lore, where, I mean, Babe Ruth, Mantle, DiMaggio, those guys, he doesn't compare. I'm just going to be honest. But he did step up.
You put him in front of or behind Yogi Berra in those rankings?
I would put him behind Yogi. I mean, Yogi was there. I mean, Yogi was a winner. Yogi, how many did he win? 8? It was like 8 in 10 years or something. I mean.
Yeah, 8 of 10. Yeah. 8 of 10 appearances for Yogi. I mean, George, how about you? You have him front or behind Yogi?
If you're going at the Mount Rushmore of Yankees, Matt said it. We know the four that are ahead of him. So I don't think there's any really much doubt about that. Yogi is the coin to us. Is it Jeter or Yogi? Both played important positions. Yogi caught for most of his career. Derek Jeter at shortstop. Both were winners. I think it was 8 for Yogi, 5 for Derek. So it's close there. I think I could go either way. I'm probably going with the shortstop and Derek Jeter. But if someone wants
three
to
MVPs
Yogi,
for Yogi.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all fine and good. MVPs really don't mean much to me.
George doesn't like the voting stuff.
It's all a joke. I don't know how it was back when Yogi played, but nowadays it's all BS. I mean, people get votes who have no business getting any votes here, so I really don't care about MVPs or any of that. I didn't see. I'm not that old. I didn't see Yogi play, but I did see Derek play. I know how he was, so it's very close to me. I could go either way here.
Yeah, so all I'll say is that, you know, as far as them retiring his number or his jersey too early, I think it's appropriate that they're doing it. The guy is one of the last people in MLB that's going to play that long of a career for one team. He sort of symbolizes that tradition. Yes, he isn't the greatest player that ever lived. He wasn't even the greatest player on his own team at points, as far as baseball history is concerned, but look, I've seen the Yankees trot a lot of guys out for a lot of ceremonies. This isn't one that is as bad as the rest. I think since he's going into the Hall of Fame, why not just do this and make the fans happy? I don't have a problem with them not waiting on Jeter. In any event, appreciate you listening. Tony Chacha will give you a better preview of today's games to get into the DFS components. They're next on Fantasy Bagels and Baseball. Thanks for listening. George and I will be back tomorrow. Matt will be here next week, folks. Have a great Saturday.